Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
Something's fishy with China.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Do you know where that eel you're eating came from? It's not going to come from China anymore. On Thursday, the FDA blocked the sale of five types of farm-raised seafood from China, including shrimp and catfish. The U.S. has been warning China for 6 years about fish imports contaminated with additives. China is the world's largest producer of farmed fish. Chinese officials responded by installing a new health minister. On Wall Street Thursday, the Dow closed down 5, the Nasdaq closed up 3, and the S&P closed down a point. Today's the day we learn how Delphi auto workers voted on the latest UAW contract. 17,000 members were able to vote on the pact that would shut 6 plants and slash pay and benefits. A yes to the plan is seen as essential to the future of Delphi. Marketplace's Elisa Roth takes a look back at earlier contracts that helped the industry into the spot it's in today.
20 years after the fact, it's hard to believe what the United Auto Workers negotiated back in the 1980s. In exchange for allowing more automation of the big three plants, the union made the car companies create the Jobs Bank. It's a program that essentially pays workers not to work. Here's the deal. You're an auto worker. Your plant is producing too many cars. But the company doesn't lay you off. Instead, it sends you to the Jobs Bank. Depending where you live and work, you might do community service, mowing lawns for the elderly or helping out in a local school. Or you might sit around watching movies and doing crosswords all day. Either way, you still draw almost your whole salary, including benefits. But there's plenty of speculation the Jobs Bank will disappear soon. The UAW and the Big Three sit down at the bargaining table in a few weeks, and everyone's guessing the union will have to make more than a few concessions.
The Jobs Bank has become sort of an icon or a metaphor for much of what is seen as wrong with the industry.
David Gregory studies labor and employment law as a professor at St. John's Law School.
It's counter to the sort of fundamental principles of democratic capitalism.
Nobody said the Jobs Bank will be on the agenda when the Big Three and the UAW meet, and there's no telling whether workers will be willing to give up the Jobs Bank. Bob Schultz follows the industry at Standard & Poor's. He says it could be politically difficult to eliminate the Jobs Bank, but anything could happen in the negotiations.
We think there's enough liquidity that the automakers can deal with some of these challenges and that the UAW is realistic enough to work with them.
All of the Big Three are trying to downsize by closing plants and buying out workers. If those plans succeed, they won't need the Jobs Bank.
With the headcount reductions that Ford, GM, and Chrysler are undertaking, there'll be a lot fewer people and presumably fewer people in the Jobs Bank to begin with.
The UAW and the Big Three head to the bargaining table July 23rd. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Now, here's a case where the real estate slump can be your friend. Marketplace's Steve Tripoli explains.
It's a renter's market on Cape Cod. Real estate agent Bob Wilkinson says there's more to rent because the real estate market's down.
There are a lot of properties for sale which have not sold, and I think a lot of folks are just trying to cover their carrying charges.
In the Charlevoix area of Michigan, Pam Musselman says bookings are better than usual for late June.
People are ready to just take vacations no matter what the economy is right now, and they could all use a break.
But she says there's still plenty available. In Sun River, Oregon, Barbara Manley has openings but says she's seeing more locals.
The closer people, not wanting to fly as far.
But what about the upper end of the scale? I asked agent Jared Iverson in Aspen if rental bookings are above or below previous years.
We're above.
What do you attribute that to?
The quality of homes that we're acquiring.
In other words, there's still not a lot of room at the top. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with Mended Hearts to provide online and hospital support to newly diagnosed heart disease patients. You can learn more at MendedHearts.org. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
Happy anniversary to Hong Kong. On Sunday, the territory holds a big party to celebrate 10 years of Chinese rule. Traits from the British years still dominate: a capitalist economy, free press, an independent judicial system. Some expected that to be bad for business in Hong Kong, but Kate Woodsum says the formula has surprised even some of the skeptics.
2 years before Britain gave up its last major colony, Fortune magazine ran a story titled "The Death of Hong Kong." It predicted China's communist system would choke Hong Kong's capitalist economy.
That, to me, was totally bizarre, frankly.
That's Christopher Hammerbeck of the British Chamber of Commerce here. He says the obituary was a bit premature.
The one thing that is quite sure about history is that trade relationships far outlast uncomfortable diplomatic relationships.
After the 1997 Asian financial crisis, Hong Kong's economy did suffer badly. But it has rebounded and is experiencing its fastest growth since the late 1980s. Hong Kong largely has China to thank. Mainland Chinese make up more than half of Hong Kong's 25 million tourists. Loads of tourists line up every day for the bus to Ocean Park. They go for the pandas and gondolas. Xi Ji Wong came from Shanghai to see how Hong Kong merged its two identities.
I just felt it's such an efficient place that everybody just knows exactly what to do. But at the same time, you can see like how the Chinese culture is here. It's amazing.
Investors feel the same. Last year, so many mainland companies listed on the Hong Kong exchange that the territory rivals London as the world's biggest IPOs market. Its GDP reached $189 billion last year and is expected to grow about 6% this year. Tai Hui, an economist for Standard Chartered Bank, says investors stay in Hong Kong because it's the closest you can get to China and still enjoy international business standards.
One of the strong advantages of Hong Kong has always been the institution. So the likes of rule of law, the independent judiciary, the strong governance system, the accounting system.
But Hong Kong is looking over its shoulder. Chinese cities like Shanghai are cleaning up their markets, and that's attracting investors. In Hong Kong, I'm Kate Woodsum for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Have a great weekend. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.